Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of studies out of 1 Samuel. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Topic of discussion this evening. We are making our way through the Old Testament. We have studied the first five books of the Bible. Can anybody tell me what the first five books of the Bibles are? All right. And then after Deuteronomy, we have Joshua. Then we have Judges. Then what's the next book? Ruth. And then what's the last book that we have studied? Ruth. Amen. I just had to throw that in there. Amen. All right. Just want to make sure you are woke. Amen. And so tonight, the next book on the list is 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. The theme of this book, the book of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, they are historical books that focus on the establishment of the kingdom of Israel, its victories, its defeat, and its end of a divided kingdom. And so you can see that you have two books called Samuel, you have another two books called Kings, and you have another two books called Chronicles. So how many books do you have that help us to understand the kingdom establishment of the kingdom of Israel? You have six books, and a lot of things that you read about in these books, they are going to be from a, some of them are repetitious, particularly when you get in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles, a lot of things there are repetitious. The book of 1 and 2 Samuel, they are laying the foundation for those other four books. So let's take a look. Amen. I tell you what, y'all get some Bibles there, and y'all can join us this morning. This evening in Bible study. Just look behind you there. It should be some Bibles. And y'all can join us in Bible study. All right. Glad to have y'all. All right. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Amen. 1 Samuel. All right. The outline of this book of 1 Samuel. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the lesson that you will learn from 1 and 2 Samuel is that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's what you're going to learn, not only really from the first two books of Samuel, but really all of those historical books, you're going to learn that whenever there's a righteous king on the throne, then you will see the nation being led in the right way. But whenever there was a wicked king on the throne, that the nation will be led in the wrong way. So basically, as a matter of fact, in my leadership class that we have on Saturday, we started out focusing on these books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and Chronicles. Why? Because those books deal with leadership. Those books deal with leadership. Whenever the country is going wrong, you know why the country go wrong? Because leadership going wrong. If you see a car going zigzag down the highway, is the problem the car? What's the problem? It's the driver. We often blame the wrong thing. But God focuses a lot on leadership. He focuses a lot on leadership. In these first three chapters of 1 Samuel, he's going to lay the foundation for our leadership. Now, this is during the period of the judges. And so Samuel is going to be the last judge. He's going to be the last judge. And remember the key verse in the book of Judges? Can anybody remember the key verse in the book of Judges? I think you got it. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. What's the last verse of the book of Judges? What's the last verse of the book of Judges? I done gave you the answer. The last verse of the book of Judges. The last verse of the book of Judges.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Amen. So now that's the period of the judges. The period of the judges is where everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. So we got a leadership crisis. There's a void of leadership. There's a void of leadership. All right. And we're going to see how God is going to address that as we study this book first. And 2 Samuel. Yes, ma'am.
Your lesson
is a reproach to any people. I don't care who you are. I don't care what nation it is. If you got a righteous king, a righteous government, the nation gonna get in line. But if you got wicked kings and wicked government, then your nation is going to be wicked. And I don't care what nation it is, that's why God says sin is a reproach to any people, to anybody. See, most people think that our country is bad because we're a Christian country, and because we are Christians, we know better. No, that's the whole world. See, whether a person worship God or don't worship God, God still hold them accountable. We've been learning that as we studied the book of Romans. Why is that? Because God done put the Ten Commandments in every man's heart. I don't care where you go, you know that it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to kill. God done put that in your heart. He done gave every, you are born with a conscience. Yeah. And so God will judge, if we studied the book of Romans, God's going to judge those who don't have a Bible based on their conscience. So nobody will be able to stand before God and say, well, God, you know, I didn't have no Bible, or I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't come from no Christian family, Lord. You don't have to come from no Christian family. God said, you come from me. Amen. I shape you in my own image, in my own likeness. In other words, God is saying, you are a moral creature, and I gave you moral values. I put the Ten Commandments in you. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. So let's look at these first three chapters this evening. The first three chapters focus on three persons. Focus on three persons. It focuses on, first of all, Hannah, then secondly, Eli, and third, Samuel. And so basically, that's what you're going to see in chapter one. The focus, the key person in chapter one is this lady called Hannah. Now, you remember Hannah. Hannah was married to a man called Achanach. And this man had two wives. It was Hannah and Peninnah. Now, he loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. But the Bible says that this lady Peninnah, she had some children, But Hannah couldn't have any children. Whenever something is outside the norm, that means God is up to something, not only great, but special. Special. If everybody else got something and you don't have it, that means you're a special one. You special. If you done heard like special children and stuff, that's because a person born blind or something, God is up to something in that person's life. He's not up to something just great. He's up to something special. He's got something special. Remember this man that was born blind in the Bible? And the disciple says, who did sin? Was it his mom and them sin? Or did he sin? And Jesus said, neither. This man was born this way for the glory of God. In other words, so that I can do a special work in his life. Yeah. Yeah. So God is always up to something great. So whenever you see things ain't your life ain't like everybody else, well, that's because God is up to something special. He chose you for a special assignment. You are aware you're on assignment. You are on an assignment by God. And so Hannah, the Bible says, she began to start crying. The Bible says in verse number 8, then said Hannah, Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepeth thou, and why eateth thou not, and why is thine heart grieved, and am I not better to thee than 10 sons? And so he was asking, Hannah, you know, I'm treating you real good. Why is it that, I mean, you're crying and you're sad, you're sorrow? Well, he just didn't understand a woman's heart, did he? And the scripture says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. So when she went to church, she just didn't go there to have a feast and a celebration. She went there and she took her burden to the Lord. And that's what you need to do. You don't need to just come to church and just have a good time. That's good. But you also need to take your burden to the Lord. Because man don't understand you like God understand you. And when I say man, I'm not talking about just male. I'm saying mankind. Even women folks, they don't understand each other. Men folks don't understand one another. No, you have to take your burdens to the Lord. And that's what she did. She took a burden to the Lord. And the Bible says that she vowed a vow. Oh, boy, now you're getting serious. When you start vowing vows, This is not only like a contract, this is a covenant. You're going into covenant relationship. In other words, you're saying, Lord, if I don't keep my bargain, you can kill me. That's serious, ain't it? You know, we used to say, I swear to God and hope to die. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Huh? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. I swear to God and I hope the lightning scrap me. Now that I know a lot better, I don't do that stuff no more. Because you're not supposed to be doing that. Amen. So you tell your children, y'all don't supposed to be doing that. Amen. I don't know where we got that from, but we sure used to say stuff like that. But she made this promise to the Lord. She said, look, verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord host, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Notice how specific she praying. She didn't say, just give me a child. She said, I want a boy. I want a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. In other words, I'm going to give him back to you as a Nazarite. Somebody that's going to just work for you the rest of their life. Well, she prayed that prayer. The preacher said that God done heard your prayer. And he did hear her prayer. Look here in verse 20. The Bible says, verse 19 and 20, and they rose, verse 19, in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. When he said knew, that means they had a sexual relationship. And the Lord remembered her. Wherefore, it came to pass when the time was come about that Hannah conceived, and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. That word Samuel means heard of God. God heard my prayer, in other words, heard of God. God done heard my prayer. And she named him Samuel. Notice she just didn't call him Bebe. Abusi. Notice. We call children in the day all kind of names. But she called him a name that fit in line with his character. Because, believe it or not, children will walk out their name. They will live out their name. Yeah. And so, Be careful. Name your child something and then have them to always live up to that name. Once I found out what my name meant, that weighed heavy on my mind. Timothy, the one who honors God. Boy, when I found out that's what that mean, man, I better start honoring God then. I was born to honor God. Yeah, and so that's what you want to do. You want to name your child something that would be in line with their character, the character of God. All right, so we see that Hannah is a godly mother. I want you to see Hannah as a godly mother. She prayed, but what did she do? The Bible says, notice what she done now. And for the next 3 years, she trained them. Notice, the Bible says 21, 22. I want you to see this. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord yearly sacrifices and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. What is the number one assignment of a godly mama? What's the number one assignment? Is to train up your child. The number one assignment is to train up your child. Make sure, ladies, that you don't let even church work interfere with training up your child. Make sure, because we are living in a day and age where people have a baby and they keep working in the church, and they push their child off on somebody else so that they can work in the church. And when the child get 13, 14, they can't handle that child. You know why? They never took any time to bond with that child in those formative years. So when they start trying to chastise that child basically, you know, who are you? They don't even know you as mama. You see? So let's be careful. It's something My heart, it does my heart good when I see a mama and a lit baby sitting together in church. See, you only got one time to do that. You only got one time to do that. I know right then that you're saying, but they messing with me. No, no, no. You'll get what you're supposed to get in church. See, what's for you is for you. You'll get it. You'll get it. Right now, make sure that you don't miss and mess up your assignment. God gave that child to you, and he didn't give it to nobody else. That's why even right here at Bible Way, we're not into the trend. The trend in church today is to have a babysitting service. No. If a lady got a baby, then God already done gave her a babysitter. She the babysitter. Nobody else should miss church worrying with your child. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. That's being selfish. And we teaching people to be selfish because we're into the number game. Pastors are into the number game. Can I tell the truth? A lot of them into the number game. And we done put these kids out here in playland. And then when it comes time for them to come on into the church, they don't want to come to church because they've been raised from a child to have fun in church. It ought to be discipline in church. See, you need to give your child. Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting ready to preach now. I'm getting ready to preach. Let me hold up. Let me hold up, and I'll just wait for Sunday. Can I hold it up for Sunday? Amen. Somebody said no. Don't hold up. No. Let me get off my hobby horse on that. Let's go on with Hannah. Let's just stay with Hannah because I'm coming back to that one Sunday. That's good. Amen. Amen. Huh? Oh, I already know what that is. I already know what that is. Amen. Amen. But I think you got the gist of what I was saying. That we use as an excuse today to dump our kids off on somebody else because I'm in the choir. I'm on the usher board. I'm doing this. And I got to serve the Lord. That's not your number one assignment. That's not your number one assignment. Your number one assignment to a mama is to train up your child in the way that it should go. God didn't say you had to be in the choir. He said just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You can do that right there. You don't have to get up on center stage to make a noise to the Lord. Hello, somebody. What I'm trying to say, there will be time for that. There will be time for that. See, there's certain times and seasons in your life. There's a time, there's a season for motherhood. And after you done passed that season, that means God wants you to do something else now. But the problem in our lives, we done messed up at the right season trying to do the wrong thing. And then when we get past that season, we want to go back to our childhood or something. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah.